All right, so I'm going to read this. I do better reading, and this is not something that's easy for me to read. So if I go into the Boston accent, forgive that, because it could happen. It could happen. Okay. The town hall meeting and subsequent Sunday service that we had back in November revealed the dreams of New Beginnings Church of who we'd like to be as a church, as well as a desire for a full-time lead pastor and a children's pastor. Our district superintendent, Jaron, has been operating as our lead pastor by default since Shane's resignation, and he's been guiding us in the search of our new lead pastor, and now it is time to reevaluate our finances to see if they match our dreams as we embark on the new fiscal year and a new pastor, both effective June 1st. Unfortunately, our finances do not match our dreams. Our current budget allows for very little room for ministry, which we think is the mission of the church. And not even think, we believe, like we are mandated, I think, as Christians to, I need to read. All right. We, as a board, collectively, have been faced with some very tough decisions as to how to proceed. We have made the choice to not continue with our current budget and staff, instead to change our strategies to allow us to have a lead pastor and to carry out the mission of the church. Currently, our adjusted budget is $200,000, and best practice is to have salary be 45% of the total budget. Currently, with two full-time pastors, that number is closer to 60%. The Chipman Commons budget, by the way, at this time supports our part-time maintenance person, as well as the rest of the funds are allocated for future and current repair needs, just to make that clarification. After much prayer, many meetings, and based on the input from the church survey and our current giving levels, we have made the decision to pursue the position of lead pastor. But this means we will no longer be able to afford a full-time administrative pastor. This tremendous workload, and it is, will have to be done in the future with a combination of a lead pastor and others. And we have established a properties board with three members that will oversee the Chipman Commons space. Scott Johnson is an amazing person, by the way, if you haven't met him. was initially hired for a two-year term to fill this position, and he's just done an amazing job. No one knows this facility better than Scott. He has poured himself into it, even obtaining his project manager, general contractor credentials along the way. We have all had a lot to learn and made a few mistakes along the way, but Scott has done his best to work smart, and he saved the church a lot of money, as well as make sure things have been done right. In his spare time, Scott also does a lot of behind-the-scenes work, like preparing bulletins, electronic communications, keeping our systems running, budgets, managing rental agreements, and payments from our Chipman Common partners, making sure we have a clean facility, toilet paper, coffee, etc. And we have much to be thankful for to God for Scott. So if it's appropriate, I'd like to get a round of applause. Thank you very much for your service. Scott wants to develop more of a pastoral role in the future, and he will continue to serve here until the end of our fiscal year, which is May 31st, unless a ministry opportunity becomes available. Scott, Sally, and Evan are our family. We love them deeply, and we want to help and support them in any way that we can. And we'd like to start by saying thank you, I mean, first and foremost. But also, let's begin our support by gathering around Scott and Sally to love them, encourage them, and begin to pray for their future. We know this is no surprise to God and that he has great plans in store for them. If questions arise about Shane or how we afforded a pastor before but now we can't, Shane has recognized that we could not fund his role and voluntarily, against counsel, gifted many salary reductions over the year. That's why he had several jobs to support his family. While it's honorable to want to fill a full-time pastor position with very little salary, ultimately it took too much away from his time from his family, and we do not want to make the same mistake again. So we as a church are to take care of our pastors, and biblically it's not a volunteer nor should it be a sacrificial position, and obviously pastors have a family to support and so on. So, yes, that's what I have to say.
At this time, we have more that we want to say and continue with this conversation here in a moment. But at that moment, we'd like to take some time in prayer now. And as we do, as we look to what has been, where we're going, as you will hear, I think it'd be appropriate for those who would be willing to or felt led to gather around Scott and Sally. As we pray now, we're going to spend a time in prayer for our church and where we're headed. So if you will join me now, we're going to kind of gather together so we can kind of be unified in what we want to do and how we want to move forward from this point. Lord, we come before you humbly, and we come before you with open hearts. We thank you that we are your church, and we are in a place to be your church to our community, maybe like no other church we know. And we thank you that you've put us in that place. And part of putting us in that place is come under the leadership of some key people in our community. And Scott being among the top of them, we thank you so much for what he has been to us. I think you know, Lord, that it's beyond our words to try to express that to them. But we know, God, that you honor your servants and will care for your servants. So we pray that you do that now, Lord. And Lord, may we as a body, as we gather around Scott and Sally now, may we see that this posture we're taking right now is a posture that may not physically look like this in the coming weeks, but has to look like this for them in the coming weeks, whatever this direction this goes. We, as we reach out to them now, as we lay hands on them now, help us to see that that has to continue. Our ability to reach to them, to touch them, to be in their lives, to love them, to help them see that they are still a vital part of who we are and our story continues. So we pray that now. So, Lord, I don't just pray for the Johnsons. I pray for us as we do this. Be with us now as we do that, Lord. Always draw our eyes to you as we do that. And now I pray also, Lord, that as we begin to share some of the fantastic vision that we see before us and the direction that we could go potentially, that you will be in that. That you will guide us forward, that you will be with us as we see visions, as we take action toward the direction that New Beginnings is headed. We love you, Lord, and we want but one thing, and that is to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. So help us in that, Lord, we pray in your name, amen.
So just as a bit of a recap of what's been going on, from basically the start of this process when Shane resigned on October 1st, and it was made effective on October 31st. Board started working together to try to find the right person to come in and fulfill what it is that this church has communicated to us, what we want and what we need. And through lots of processes, a couple of different interviews, lots of reading, not my forte. We've come to a decision, and here we are. So I'm also going to read because I tend to just say things that come out weird. So going forward, this week the church board interviewed Reverend Jake Edwards and his wife Jenny for the office of pastor in our church. Following the interview and time of prayer, the board voted unanimously to nominate Reverend Edwards to the congregation for consideration of a call to be our pastor. Our district superintendent has approved the nomination, and so we are moving forward with the process. The Nazarene Manual states that there needs to be at least two regular service times where the day of voting is announced, this being one of them. After a lot of deliberation, consideration, the timetables of Jaron, Jake, spring break, and Easter, we'll have time to get acquainted with Edwards during a special gathering that will start with a time of hearing from Pastor Jake in a question and answer session on Thursday, March 10th. That's this coming Thursday at 6:30 p.m. right here. The church will provide the pizza and drinks, and we ask that people bring a dessert to share. We will be recording the event for those who are unable to attend so they can still share in this time. Please continue in prayer for this important step. The vote is slated for March 20th again during the morning service. And we do have a position on absentee voting. Is this necessary for me to read? Go ahead and read it. Okay.
This is coming from Jaron.
Right. So Jaron put this out. Manual 113.2 specifies that there's no provision for absentee voting in church meetings. This is not a rule made by the Church of the Nazarene. It's part of the parliamentary law as outlined by Robert's Rules of Orderly Order, newly revised 10th edition. It is a fundamental principle of parliamentary law that the right to vote is limited to the members of an organization who are actually present at the time the vote is taken in a legal meeting. And I think that's, it's just important to know this, not that we're trying to exclude anybody if you're not here, but it's just kind of the general rule that we operate under. We as a board are excited about this candidate and how the vision that has been cast by Shane and shared by you can begin to be carried out. Jake is fully aware of our story and these changes, and the board will be fully engaged in the transition to ensure his success. Above all, we have sought God's wisdom and leadership in this process and will continue to do so as we carry out his mission for the community around us. The stuff that we've been reading today is going to be available to you either through, we'll send it out on email, so anybody that received email stuff earlier this week, you'll be getting that as well. And if you want a copy of this, we can provide it to you. And it'll also have all of our contact numbers if you want to have any conversations with us. There's already been some conversations this week that are appreciated. We love the fact that you guys are engaging us. And with that, we just kind of wanted to share a little bit about why we're excited about Pastor Jake. And I'll just go ahead and start. I jotted a couple things down, but I just wanted to say Jake is a person that just through even his Skype interview with us is very easily read to be a feeling person. And those of you that know me, I'm a feeler. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a crier. It's okay, too. Jake is a very open, honest, feeling type person, and he's he communicates probably way better than I do. The other thing that I really liked about Jake is that at the end of our first interview, Jaron Rowell asked Jake to pray for us at the end of his interview, and he told us that on the day that he was contacted by Jaron to see if we could have him considered for our interviews, he said he started praying that day and had prayed every day since then, not for him, but for us, and that the right person be brought here. And I thought I was excited about the fact that he wasn't concentrating on how much money can you give me or how much, what can you provide to me, but more, I want what's best for you. And that was one of the things that really stuck out to me, that he has this sense of humility and love just for us and not even really knowing us. So that excites me to have a person here to do that. Not that we haven't had people here to do that, but just someone that doesn't even know us to love us that way.
Well, we thought we'd each share a little bit about our perception of Jake. And so I'm going to grab the mic first so nobody else gets my pieces right. No. So I think there's some key character things that we may witness on Thursday night from Jake, and that is, A, he's relational. He's very relational. Feeler's a good word. So sorry, I just took yours, didn't I? Relational, he's an extrovert. He engages with people. He's high energy. We'll probably again witness that Thursday night. But most importantly for me, and those are great character traits. We all have character traits. But most important for me was the fact that Jake's exhibited his love of Christ. Jake exhibited his desire, his strong desire to lead people in discipleship and deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior. And I think that that is hugely important for us. And I'm excited about Thursday night, March 10th at 6:30.
Free food.
Free pizza. Yep. And drink.
So, kind of prophetic, maybe, I don't know, but Megan came up at the beginning of the service. I don't even know what that scripture, where was that from, that first one that was up there, Isaiah. It said the phrase in there, "I am about to do a new thing." And I just, like, grabbed a hold of that, and it gave me a sense of kind of excitement. That's God speaking. I'm about to do a new thing. And I want to look to that. Roger said about Jake that he's high energy, and I'm going to go ahead and use Jake's words in the meeting, which was, "I have ADD." That's a good thing. He's very high energy. He captivated when we were in the room. He drew your attention to him to kind of lead. And there was a sense of a call of action in him, and I was like, let's go, you know. And I want to draw a couple things. I said this to the board. When Jake left the room and we came back together to then discuss what we had seen in him, one of the things that I was drawn to, which is kind of odd, but I was not drawn to speak first about Jake. What I was drawn to speak first about was Jake asked us questions and we shared a lot about Chipman Commons and us. And when we got done, I was tremendously excited about a new thing, about what's going on out there, our ability to partner, what we can do, the fire we can, like, send out now, and how we can start gathering what happens out there with these people and make things happen. And I was like, let's go, Jake or no Jake, let's go. And then when Jake spoke into that, one of his key phrases was spiritual formation. He used that phrase, spiritual formation. And I tell you what. Dang it. There was a list of questions that we could pull from to ask Jake. And after that, there was a list of questions that a potential candidate could ask of us. And Jake asked a few of those questions and some of his own. And I started pouring through those before we met. And I was drawn to one, number 5. He didn't ask it, but I forced the question into the conversation. And I'm going to read the question as it said. Number 5. "Please tell me about the last person who came to faith in Christ through the ministry of this congregation." And I sat before us and I said, "I do not have a story to tell about that. If he had asked that question of me, I would have just sat there." And that hurt me. But I backed up and said, look where we're at. Look at the people that we can bring to Christ. And when he said those words, spiritual formation, I was like, all right, here we go. Let's find those people and bring them to our Lord so he can meet them. He took a tour of the place, and you could see wheels spinning as he heard, wow, that happens here? Oh, my goodness, that's going on. And we could see the fire, even if he is not our pastor, we saw the fire in his belief in what can happen in this place. So I want to say, I encourage you to understand that this is someone who we believe should be brought before you. And we want to set them before you this Thursday so that you can meet them and make your decision. So if you can, please be a part of that so you can see some of the things we saw.
Well, I had taken some notes when we were interviewing with him, and one of the things that really struck me was that, you know, we asked about his philosophy of ministry, and he just said, it's about Jesus, and it's Jesus-centered, and it's about community, and engaging those around us to be neighbors, and really enhancing the lives of the people out there. You know, you talk about that question about who's come to Christ. We can't bring anyone to Christ, right? We can't save anybody, but we can show God's love through ministry to people, and through that, they will be drawn to him. And so I think one of the things that we discuss is that we are poised to do that in this place. And Jake carries that fire and that fervor to say, yes, that's what we want. And I think when we were in that town hall meeting and the survey was very much so that everyone in this space was very saying, hey, what are we doing, you know, just besides meeting here or even sharing space with people, what are we doing to be Jesus and to be a community? And I love that Nathan stood up and brought about the first Sundays because that's exactly what people are wanting to do and what we want to do as a church, and Jake very much embodied that. So,
I guess as I thought about, you know, what to share about our time with him, a couple words to describe him came to mind, and one was intentional. I felt like he was very intentional with his relationship with God. Through what he said, he's very intentional with his relationship with other people, and intentional in his relationship in his community, and his desires, and that to reach out and be a presence in his community. And I thought that fit so well. And the other is passion. I just felt like when he spoke about God, it was a God that I wanted to know. You know, I wanted to like lean in and listen to what he had to say because I knew he had something really good to say, and I knew it came from a really a good place and full of knowledge. And I just know that, you know, we as moms want good things for our kids and our families, and I know that, you know, as I listened to him, I kept thinking, oh, I wish my family was here. You know, I wish they could hear this. I wish they could be a part of this, you know. And so I'm excited.
Well, I ditto everything that the others have said. His passion is ADD, if that makes sense. And I'm sorry, but I have to read too, if I can pull it back up. Anyway, what he finds in his ministry that has really rewarded him is his vision, his mentoring, and his discipleship of others. The only fault that I could find in Jake is that he's a Cubs fan. But Jenny, his wife, he says she's a diehard Royals fan, so I guess that evens out. So anyway.
I think one of the things that struck me most about Jake is his humility. What everybody said about his passion and his drive is certainly true. Towards the end of the conversation, you know, he let us know that he doesn't have all the answers and he's not here to fix us or straighten us out, but simply to lead us. And I was very impressed by his humility.
All right, so we're going to pray for the future of the church, and then I think we'll be dismissed. Or, Jamie, do you want to do the benediction following that? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for the beautiful day we have today, and thank you for shining light on us today as we go forward. And we pray that your continued pulling us forward, and that you just lead us where we need to go and with the right decisions going forward. And we just ask that you be on this congregation and help lead them in the direction that they feel or that you feel is the best way to go. And we ask that you be with Jake as he prepares for this coming Thursday and the potential to make a transition here. And we just ask that just be with us Help us to be mindful of you every day as we go throughout our weeks. And we love you in your name. Amen.